Welcome. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my office in Branson, Missouri. We've been talking about the power of the spoken word. We've been talking about what elevates man above all the creatures on earth. Our scripture from last week, the week before, we've been talking about this for a while, is our key scripture, is chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 7. And Hashem God formed the man of dust from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the soul of life. And this is the way Stone Edition of the Chumash translates it, and man became a living being. Now, Onkelos, and we went into great detail who he is, he did an early Aramaic translation, defines this as a speaking spirit. We spoke yesterday about why he did. He saw a connection between some words, and he defines it and translates it as a speaking spirit. Accordingly, and this is what they say in the Stone Edition comments, the life that is unique to man and which only God could blow into him is the rational soul that includes the power of speech. This is what elevates a human above animal life, the ability and therefore the responsibility to use his intelligent speech in God's service. I add the responsibility to use, responsibility, his intelligent speech in God's service. Words, Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. We don't take into consideration the value that of the power of God that's in our mouth. Now, I'm going to just read you some scriptures on the tongue, which you know, probably, but they will recall to you and jog you just a little bit about the power in your mouth. Psalm 34:12. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Here's how to get it. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. That verse is repeated in 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is his health. You can speak your own health with your tongue. I speak my health with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The God of peace sanctifies me wholly. My whole spirit, my whole soul, my whole body, he preserves blameless unto the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who promised, who also does it. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You believe in increase? You want increase? Then your lips will have to speak it. The very next verse, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Bless the Lord. Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. I once came home from Russia, and I found that there had been almost a military coup that had arisen against our beloved pastor, Lee Morgans. This was back in 1980, 1981, in our church in Collinsville. And some people had called a business meeting and were going to make horrid, untrue statements against him. Just because someone is accused, folks, you don't believe, even if it's written in the paper. You don't have to believe that that is what is true, or if it's on the television, or if a senator brought the account, or a lawsuit. So this was made by some people in the church, and it was bad. And I was just back from Russia. My daughter, Brenda, said, Mom, I want you to go down to that meeting, and I want you to tell them, she was a young school teacher then, I want you to tell them, you know, just give them what for. And I knew I could go down there, and I knew that I was persuasive, and I could have persuaded the people. But the Lord gave me this verse: "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue." And the Lord showed me that this verse says, just as the north wind drives away the rain, so do backbiting tongues. We were studying a lot about the former rain, the latter rain, the former and latter rain together, the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's coming in these last days. And the Lord showed me that those people involved in that were the rain couldn't come, the rains that we'd been praying for. And so I stayed away, and it resulted in, we stepped away, Pastor Lee, and most of the congregation stepped away from that church for a few years. And then now we're right back there and we had good relations with the Quakers. It was a Quaker church, but the Quakers weren't involved in it. But God showed me the power of tongues and of strife to drive away the very outpouring of the Spirit of God that we're longing for and that we're praying for. Isaiah 3:8. "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke to the eyes of his glory." Folks, this tongue and their tongues and their doings were against the Lord and against his plan and against his glory. I've recently done an eschatology teaching on the entire book of Ezekiel. And in that book, it shows the departure of the glory. If you don't study that whole book, you really may not understand what's happening. Ezekiel is a prophet to the people in the land of Babylon, where a remnant has been taken. He prophesies to them the temple's going to fall back in Jerusalem. They don't believe him at first, but of course then it does fall, and they do believe him. But Ezekiel is the witness to the departure of the Shekinah glory out from that temple, Solomon's temple. It is escorted in the chariot of God, by the chariot of God. We say a wheel within a wheel. It's Merkava. It means the chariot of God. And the chariot of God comes and escorts the Shekinah glory from where it was over the mercy seat out to the threshold of the door, out to the courtyard, over to the Mount of Olives, and from there it goes up. You see, that temple could never have been destroyed if that Shekinah glory had remained there in that temple, but it was destroyed. There is a scripture in Ezekiel which gives the reason for its destruction: talebearers. There were talebearers, and here we see Isaiah says there were, they used their tongue to provoke the Lord. There were talebearers. And folks, when I'm speaking this and teaching this series, I believe that our words are going to have so much power in the last days. They are also going to have something to do with the coming of the glory of the Lord into our presence. And so that's why we must stop this backbiting, this division, this tale-bearing, and use our tongues for edification. Use our tongues, as it said in Ephesians, to lift people up. I read a letter by Ken Jr., and he spoke about God building up the church, and he said, "Don't be a part of the wrecking crew. Be a part of the builders." I really like that. That's Kenneth Hagin Jr., who Winter Bible Seminar, he'll be speaking there. But he's the head of Rhema Bible Training Center and Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Brother Hagin's son. But don't you like that? Well, I don't want to be part of the wrecking crew. I don't want to. Here it says, "For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, against Jehovah, against his plans, against his purposes. They provoked the eyes of his glory." Lord God, grant us the manifestation of the glory of the Lord in the glorious church. Now, we're going to be having a seminar in I'm going to teach an eschatology school. It's March 16th through 20th in Ozark, Missouri. You can call us at 1-417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 to register. We just need to know you're coming. We've got room for about 500 people. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. And that exactly is in my thoughts right now. This glorious church, to manifest His glory, the whole creation is waiting for us to manifest as the sons of God, to manifest the glory of the Lord. And to do it, we're going to have to do something with our speaking and something with our tongues. We have spoken many times here, and we gave you last week, if you watched the radio broadcast, we gave you Brother Hagin's book on words. Another thing I would like to recommend to you is Brother Hagin's Faith Food Devotions. I did this book many years ago from his teachings, and we put it in just one day. I quoted exactly his words. This is one of the best devotional books that you can possibly get. Faith Food Devotions by Kenneth E. Hagin. We will make that available to you for $10 plus shipping. Faith Food Daily Devotions by Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm reading to you one of the days on March 1st. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus himself made the above statement. Words are much more important than many people realize. Do you remember Job and his three so-called friends who came to comfort him? Job's cry to those who came as comforters and stayed in torment as tormentors were, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" 19:2. Words make us or break us. Words heal us or make us sick. According to the teaching of the Bible, words destroy us or words make us full of life, happiness, and health. Words that we spoke yesterday make life what it is today. That agrees with what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Those things which you say are words. In fact, you could read that last phrase like this. He shall have the words that he speaks. Folks, we'll be glad to send you this book. Be sure to register your youth for our upcoming Youth for Christ, Youth Champions for Christ Youth Ministry. It's a great time here in Branson. We use all the fun things in Branson, have great speakers. Chip Brim, my son, hosts it. And we have Steve Munns and Dominique Woods, and I speak too. Register your youth people, your youth today. Call 1-417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim, and I want you to have Faith Food for $10, Faith Food Devotions by Kenneth E. Hagin. If you ask for the book Words, we'll send it to you free. This is Billy Brim saying Shalom until